From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, if Congress needed another reason to end the forced partnership between taxpayers and Planned Parenthood, well, they now have it. A new ad campaign in New York City is so over the top, we can't even play the audio. I can't even bleep out the words sufficiently. The pro-abortion group has outperformed itself in its shocking, profanity-laden campaign. We'll talk about it with Terry Jeffrey at CNS News. Also, the first ever Ministerial to Advance Religious Freedom will take place at the State Department next week. The event will bring together government and civic leaders from around the world to discuss challenges and identify concrete means to push back against the spreading religious persecution and discrimination that is taking place around the globe. We'll talk with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who is hosting the gathering. And speaking of religious discrimination, it's happening in our own backyard. A Pittsburgh area family is being ordered to stop using their property to host Bible studies and other religious activities. The couple faces $500 a day plus court costs, including the borough's attorney's fees for having Bible studies at their home. Attorney Randall Wigner, who is the chief counsel of the Independence Law Center, who is representing the family, will be here with the shocking details of this case. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you are on Twitter, you can keep up with me, at T. Perkins. All right. Planned Parenthood, I mean, I don't know if it's just in the, they just want to shock people with their advertising, but just bear in mind that they receive millions, about $500 million a year from taxpayers, okay? Combination of federal money, state money, and local money. Well, we've seen a lot out of New York City here in recent days. You know, the governor declaring an apocalypse because President Trump nominated a new Supreme Court justice with the fears that somehow abortion is going to disappear, so he's calling the legislature in to make sure that they protect abortion. He's vowing to sue anyone and take it to court if the court overturns it. I hadn't quite figured that one out. Maybe he's going to Judge Judy. I don't know. But California, I mean, New York is just, and California, they're wacko. But Planned Parenthood has embarked upon a campaign. They launched it this week. And it is a campaign, again, it's just blatant profanity using a four-letter word that begins with F. And it is using that word to everyone in New York. And they say they're protecting their right to do that. So they have this video that has various people, different walks of life, just saying, you know, I have a right to blank. It is shocking, but look, they have a right to do what they want to do, but they don't have a right to have my money and use it to do this. It is time Congress step in and fix it. Joining me now is Terry Jeffrey, editor-in-chief at CNSnews.com. Terry, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Tony.
Am I overreacting to this new campaign in New York City, Terry?
No, you're not. Just a few minutes before I came on the air with you, I took a look at that ad, and I'd like to say it's unbelievable that I can't believe it, but I can. And I'll tell you, Tony, one of the reasons I can is immediately after looking at the ad, I pulled up Planned Parenthood's latest annual report, which any person listening to the show can just Google up and look at. It's no secret. And in that annual report, Planned Parenthood itself says that in fiscal 2016, it did 321,384 abortions. Now, if Planned Parenthood did abortions 7 days a week, which it doesn't, that would mean it had to do 880 abortions per day in the United States of America, 36 per hour. If Planned Parenthood started at the stroke of midnight on January 1st that year and kept on aborting babies constantly through the end of December 31st of that year, they would have had to kill 36 babies in every hour to kill those 321,384 babies they killed. So would someone who does, or an organization that is so evil and so grotesque that it's willing to murder innocent human beings at that rate, do as foul and vulgar an ad as the one that they put out in New York City? Yes. Second point from their annual report related to that ad. According to their annual report, U.S. taxpayers gave them $543.7 million in the fiscal year that ended on June 2017, which is the latest that they have reported. Now, they get money basically from two streams, government money. One is Title 10, which is a family planning program run by HHS. We know that President Trump has moved to change the regulatory framework of Title 10 to make it very difficult for Planned Parenthood to get money, and hopefully that will go forward and that will work. But they only get a small percentage, maybe about 10% of that money from Title 10. The rest
right, comes from Medicaid. That's about $60 million in total there. So it is not the lion's share of the money that they get.
Right. Most of it comes through Medicaid. And so the Republican Congress needs to cut off the Medicaid funding to Planned Parenthood. And just one other observation I'll make about this, Tony, is we know that, and I think in part of it is because the liberal establishment in this country and liberal organizations, they hate what President Trump is trying to do, particularly on the pro-life issue. And whenever President Trump misspeaks or says, you know, communicates something in a way where you might prefer that he was a little bit more eloquent in the way he said it, which he does on occasion, the media go wild.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see what they do about this ad by Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, again, underwritten with tax dollars. And here, there's a coarsening of our society, no question about that. But this organization, I think, takes it beyond anything we've seen before. Boasting that Planned Parenthood is proud to provide abortion services, the profanity-laced campaign ends with the words this: protect our right to safely F whoever the F we want. Now, this is, and it's on billboards, it's on tote bags. I mean, this is a big campaign that they're using to promote this. Now, Terry, given the numbers that you put out there on the abortions, certainly they want people to engage in sexual activity because that's what feeds their business.
Yes. And in fact, you know, I think really when you get right down to it, the underlying framework under that Planned Parenthood ad is nihilism, is no moral code at all. From my viewing it, by the way, I think they're also promoting homosexuality.
Oh, they
and
are.
By the way, I don't think you can get pregnant from homosexual acts. So they don't have to worry about aborting any babies that result from the homosexual acts they seem to be promoting there. But I think that ad, more than anything else, is an attack on exactly the natural law upon which our freedom is based, that protects the right to life, that is, in fact, the source of the right to life, the God-given right to life of all those babies that Planned Parenthood killed. But it's also the source of the freedom of the people who work for Planned Parenthood. They just don't understand it. They are actually attacking their own freedom. And I say, before they can attack their freedom and our freedom more, let's take away the taxpayer money they used to do it with.
That's exactly right. That is my point. I mean, we have freedoms in this country. I don't agree with how everybody uses those freedoms, but they don't have a right to force me to underwrite the exercise of that freedom in a way that is offensive to the vast majority of Americans. And folks, this is where you need to call your member of Congress. Again, as I said at the top of the program, if they needed another reason, I don't think they do, but if they needed another reason, this is it. Call your member of Congress and say it is past time to sever the forced partnership between taxpayers and Planned Parenthood. That number, let me give it to you. Write it down. I'll give it to you again in case you don't have a pen and paper. 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121. Put it in your phone. You need to have that if you're a regular listener, because this is a program about being engaged. We don't have spectators here. We're all participants in the republic that we have. Terry, speaking of Congress, speaking of not solving certain issues like defunding Planned Parenthood, The immigration issue, which they kind of punted on a couple of weeks ago, is still a pressing issue with the American people. They want to see this resolved.
It is. In fact, yesterday Gallup put out their latest version of their poll where they asked people what they think the most important problem facing the country is. And immigration and illegal aliens, that's the way Gallup put it, was the number one problem, with 22% of the people that Gallup polled saying that's the top problem, more than people's dismay with government, which is often at the top. And it's the highest level that it's ever been. So there are, according to Gallup, there are more people in the United States today who believe that immigration and illegal immigration is the biggest problem facing our country than ever before, at least in the era that Gallup's been asking it. And I think we know that one of the reasons Donald Trump was elected president of the United States is because he was committed to building a wall on the southern border, to enforcing the immigration laws, to making sure that the borders were secured, the immigration laws were enforced both there and within the country. And the establishment in Washington, D.C. doesn't want to do it. They've left our borders open for decades. They've not wanted to enforce the immigration laws within the country. And it's time for them to do what President Trump promised the American people he's going to do. And they should do it before the election by funding his wall and making sure that everything that the executive branch needs to carry out the law is given to them.
Terry, this increasing concern among citizens over the issue of immigration and illegal aliens, did the media's efforts to try to bury Trump with the issue at the border with separation of families, did that boomerang on them? Did that come back and hit them because now people are saying, yes, this is a problem, but we need to solve it, and it's not the way you want to solve it?
I think it did, Tony. I think most Americans look at the establishment media and they see the spin there. They see the bias. And they have their own values. They apply to their own values. They also have enough brains to know fact from fiction. And so they pull the facts out of what they're getting, and they go to better sources, and then they apply their own values to it. And so I think that Gallup itself in its analysis of its own poll basically was saying that when immigration becomes big news, it also becomes a major concern of the American people. But I'll tell you an interesting contrast to that. You know, we know that the liberal media has been trying to beat up on President Trump for his summit meeting with Putin and his press conference and so forth in the aftermath. But in that same Gallup poll, 0% of the American people said that Russia was the biggest problem for the United States today. So right at the top of the list is immigration. Russia isn't even on the list. So I think that shows you how much impact the establishment media has on Americans these days.
And it's dwindling by the day. Terry Jeffrey, as always, great to have you on the program. Thanks for stopping in today.
Thank you, Tony.
And folks, CNSnews.com, great resource, okay? It is a great, trusted resource. Terry and his team know their stuff. And they give it to you straight. All right, let me give you that switchboard number again. 202-224-3121. Time to sever this forced partnership between taxpayers and Planned Parenthood. If you want to see that ad, I caution you, but you can Google it and you can see it. All right, when we come back, next week, big week for religious freedom around the globe. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo joins us here on Washington Watch to talk about it. Don't go away.
Are you ready to vote? Do you know the candidates and their platforms? There are important races happening for the Senate, the House, and many state and local primaries. Determining the right candidate to lead our nation can be difficult amidst the media spin and political rhetoric. Each elected official is given a platform to make a difference, and he or she will either be part of the problem or part of the solution when it comes to preserving and protecting your religious freedom, family values, and the dignity of human life. FRC Action is here to help prepare you to vote with our 2018 Voter Guide. Go to frcaction.org/voterguide to view the guide, election dates, and so much more. It's important to be informed when you enter the voting booth. This is your time to be a part of the solution for America. So, don't be silent. Be sure to vote. Again, that's frcaction.org/voterguide.
Have you ever had doubts about your freedom to believe? All of us want to be free, especially when it comes to practicing our faith, which is so fundamental to who we are. In America, we tend to take religious freedom for granted, but millions of people around the world aren't so blessed. When basic freedoms are denied to us, the natural human reaction is one of anger. It is no surprise, then, that in countries where religious freedom is suppressed, violence soon follows. Today, we often see this violence spill into other countries in the form of terrorism. This is why religious freedom and national security go hand in hand. As religious freedom is cultivated worldwide, and as security and economic development occur along with it, the United States' national security interests are advanced. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/national security. That's frc.org/national security.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us. You know, Wednesday, we had one of my fellow commissioners from the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom, Christina, join us from Turkey with the news that American pastor Andrew Brunson was not going to be released from prison in Turkey, where he has been held for the last 2 years. Now, Pastor Brunson's case is reflective of a growing threat to religious freedom and the spread of religious persecution around the globe that really has reached historic proportions, so much so that the Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has called for the first ever ministerial to advance religious freedom, which will take place next week. The three-day event will bring together government officials, representatives of international organizations, religious leaders, rights advocates, and members of civil society organizations from around the world, and I'll be there as well. Now, with us now is the host of the event, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Secretary, welcome to Washington Watch.
Tony, it's great to be back on with you.
It's been a while, and it's great to have you on in this new capacity. And let me first just commend you for one of your first actions as secretary is to call for this gathering of international leaders to discuss religious freedom. I want to start with the obvious question, why?
Tony, it's incredibly important in our administration, President Trump's administration, to make the case and sound the clarion call for religious freedom all around the world. You mentioned Pastor Brunson. There are many countries in which religious freedom is not available. And we believe that by gathering citizens from around the world, we'll have over 80 delegations from different countries. 40-plus of my counterparts at the foreign minister level will be in attendance, and religious leaders like yourself, all brought together to highlight the central nature of religious freedom, and it's important to individuals and countries. We believe that religious freedom is important for every citizen around the world, and we want to bring everyone together to discuss how all faiths have the right, people, individuals have the right to worship in the way that they choose, or if they choose not to, and every country ought to honor that.
Now, Mr. Secretary, you and I have been around government for quite some time, and a lot of times there's a lot of meetings, and there's not always tangible outcomes. I know you're a man of action. What do you hope will be the tangible outcomes of this gathering?
We expect, Tony, this to be far more than just talk. We do believe that just putting people together from all across the world in a room and talking about this topic will empower them to go back to their home country and advocate for religious freedom as well. It's difficult, Tony, as you know, in many countries to even speak about religious freedom. And so we hope to provide a support system and a basis for some of them to head back to their own countries. But we'll announce a number of initiatives. The Vice President will be speaking, Ambassador Brownback will be speaking there, and we'll be laying out a path where we are hopeful that the State Department here in the United States can lead a process where religious freedom is raised as a priority for the citizens of every country. And we will have our teams in the subsequent weeks and months in the field talking about religious freedom on a continued basis. We'll have just 3 days here, but this will be a mission of the State Department every day.
Now, Secretary Pompeo, this is the first ever, and I don't want this to be lost on our listeners. As you pointed out, this issue of religious freedom, both domestically and from a foreign policy standpoint, is a priority for this administration. This is much more than lip service. I mean, this administration takes this serious.
You've seen that with President Trump very clearly. We want people of all faiths, Christians, Muslims, Jews, people of all different faiths. We think that this forum will reinforce for countries that enjoy that religious freedom and encourage those that are on the cusp who are in a place where it's more challenging, will help provide them a courage to continue to make religious freedom a priority for the citizens of their own countries as well. This was laid out in the President's National Security Strategy, which is unique and different from previous administrations. We do place a high priority on religious freedom, and we will continue to fight for it every place that we travel.
What has been the response from your counterparts around the globe?
It's been remarkable. I literally, as I was traveling this past week, I think I was in 6 or 8 different places. I had foreign ministers say, I'm going to be there, and I hadn't seen the list. They're excited to come be around others who believe religious freedom is important. I was in Muslim countries. I was in places with religions very different than my own Christian faith. But every one of those leaders was excited about the opportunity to gather with like-minded individuals who share the desire, the quest for every individual to be able to practice their faith in their country in the way that they wish to do.
And I know from my role at USURF that there's actually countries that are on a waiting list. There's people wanting to get to this. And
it is indeed oversubscribed, Tony, which we consider an enormous blessing.
It is.
And we're going to do our best to accommodate each and every one of them so that they can come be part of this. And it bodes well for continuity for a program like this as well. Not just these 3 days, but to make sure that there are real actions that follow from this event.
One final question for you, Mr. Secretary. I know you've got a busy schedule. What can the average American do to bring greater awareness to this issue of religious freedom, not just as an American right, but as the State Department and the United States government recognizes this is a human right? What can we be doing?
It is deeply a human right. I think we can do a number of things. I think those of us who believe in faith and prayer can pray. I think it's important for every individual to demand of their elected officials that they consider religious freedom among one of their priorities as they seek to lead and to be part of government service. And then I just think it's important that groups, we have dozens and dozens of NGOs that will be attending this, to support groups like that and non-governmental organizations that are prepared to help fight for religious freedom all around the world.
Do you anticipate seeing movement in countries like Turkey, like North Korea? I mean, do you really think that during this Trump administration that we're going to see movement?
We've seen some already. A good case in point would be Uzbekistan that has begun to move in the right direction. Tony, you know this is a long march, but absent leadership, absent the State Department engaging in this as an important priority, we know that the likelihood of that happening is less so. So we'll work in every place to raise the awareness of the centrality of religious freedom, not only for individual human dignity, but for the success of nations as well.
Mr. Secretary, thank you so much for coming back on Washington Watch in your new capacity, and I look forward to seeing you next week at the ministerial.
bless you, Tony. I look forward to seeing you next week as well. So
All
long,
right.
sir.
Thanks so much. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who is a part of the Trump administration, is seeking to advance religious freedom around the globe. So it's a big event next week, and obviously we'll be talking a lot about it as I gather different individuals who will be there, and we'll be talking with them. All right, don't go away. More Washington Watch to come on the other side of this break.
Are you ready to vote? Do you know the candidates and their platforms? There are important races happening for the Senate, the House, and many state and local primaries. Determining the right candidate to lead our nation can be difficult amidst the media spin and political rhetoric. Each elected official is given a platform to make a difference, and he or she will either be part of the problem or part of the solution when it comes to preserving and protecting your religious freedom, family values, and the dignity of human life. FRC Action is here to help prepare you to vote with our 2018 Voter Guide. Go to frcaction.org/voterguide to view the guide, election dates, and so much more. It's important to be informed when you enter the voting booth. This is your time to be a part of the solution for America. So, don't be silent. Be sure to vote. Again, that's frcaction.org/voterguide.
Have you ever had doubts about your freedom to believe? All of us want to be free, especially when it comes to practicing our faith, which is so fundamental to who we are. In America, we tend to take religious freedom for granted, but millions of people around the world aren't so blessed. When basic freedoms are denied to us, the natural human reaction is one of anger. It is no surprise, then, that in countries where religious freedom is suppressed, violence soon follows. Today, we often see this violence spill into other countries in the form of terrorism. This is why religious freedom and national security go hand in hand. As religious freedom is cultivated worldwide, and as security and economic development occur along with it, the United States' national security interests are advanced. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/national security. That's frc.org/national security.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website is tonyperkins.com. Well, you know, we're focused on religious liberty around the globe, the persecution that's taking place. But, you know, folks, as I had said, it's happening here. We've got to be focused domestically on this issue, because the more we're focused on it here, the stronger our presence is elsewhere. Swickley Heights Borough, which is 15 miles west of Pittsburgh, is ordering Scott and Terry Federoff to stop using their 35-acre property to host Bible studies, worship events, religious retreats, or other religious fundraisers, something they and the prior owner have done for decades. I mean, this is not something that just popped up. It's been going on for a long time. With us now is Randall Winger. He is the chief counsel of the Independence Law Center, who is representing the couple. Randall, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Randall, give us the facts in this case. Maybe I overlooked some of these facts. Make sure our listeners have the facts in this case that we understand exactly what's taking place.
Sure. Scott and Terry Federoff run a 35-acre farm, a very small farm, beautiful location. But the biggest beauty in that location to them was the way that it had been used for all kinds of religious activities. They met on the property years ago when it was owned by somebody else, and it's been used for all kinds of events for God's kingdom. And they fell in love with it and eventually purchased the property so that in addition to running the farm, they could carry on that beautiful tradition. And they were able to up until 2017 of last year, and they received a cease and desist order from the borough telling them, among other things, that they were in violation for holding Bible studies, for Christian fundraisers, for retreats, and a worship event on their property. And, you know, the callous disregard to any number of First Amendment rights by the borough, it just stands out here because as freedom-loving Americans, just think about how many of your friends run book clubs. And, you know, you don't have to have some big assembly or you don't have to have a church or a synagogue to have a book club. You do that sort of thing in your home. But here, Swickley Heights Borough is telling Scott and Terry Fedoroff that somehow, even though others can have book clubs, they can't have a Bible study on their property.
So for Swickley Heights Borough, what's the basis of their order? I mean, what are they standing on as the justification for telling someone they cannot invite people to their home and have a Bible study?
Yeah. Well, they're relying on two things, depending on the activity. For Bible studies, they're saying that a Bible study constitutes a school. And the only way that you can have a school on your property is to get a conditional use approval by going to the borough, paying money, spending months with a hearing and public comment to try to find out whether a school of this sort would be consistent with the standards in your community. And then it can still be denied to you even after you spend all the time and pay the fees. But it's not a school. It's absurd to view this as a school. And then with the other events, they're saying that they constitute places of worship or assembly, and that you can only have a place of worship or assembly in certain zones. And, you know, I look through this, and place of worship and assembly, it makes you think of a church or a synagogue. But they just want to have activities on their property that are not dissimilar to the secular counterparts that others would have. So I just had a graduation party for my daughter. And so we were stormed by teenagers. And those same teenagers, if they went to Swickley Heights to have a youth group activity, well, that would be a violation of the zoning code, presumably under the definition that Swickley Heights has.
So, but are they applying this, Randall, only to religious gatherings?
Well, it seems that way because we can all think of a million examples of the kinds of things that everybody have in their home at any point, but it's only these particular religious gatherings that they are claiming constitute places of worship or assembly.
Now, how many people would normally gather at a function here at the 35-acre farm?
Yeah, well, it depends. It depends for a Bible study, 10 to 20 people.
On 35 acres? I mean, there's plenty of room for 30, 25 people on 35 acres.
Yeah. Well, and their largest events might be a couple hundred people. Again, they've got 35 acres, and they've got a lot of structures on there and beautiful outdoor areas where folks can gather and sing. They've had their church out there for worship nights every now and again. But again, with 35 acres, they're parking everybody off the street.
Yeah.
And they're far away from anyone else. They weren't cited for traffic violations. They weren't cited for noise violations, for lighting violations, but categorically prohibited because a place of worship or assembly.
So, look, we're up against a break, Randall. I want you to hold on, if you will, for 2 minutes. I want to come back and I want to ask you what your plan is to make sure that the rights of the Fedoroffs are protected. So, and what anything, if anything, our listeners can do, want to know about that as well. So, if you will, Randall, hang on, folks. Randall's going to stick around, and then we're going to go to your phone calls after this message. Don't go away.
Are you ready to vote? Do you know the candidates and their platforms? There are important races happening for the Senate, the House, and many state and local primaries. Determining the right candidate to lead our nation can be difficult amidst the media spin and political rhetoric. Each elected official is given a platform to make a difference, and he or she will either be part of the problem or part of the solution when it comes to preserving and protecting your religious freedom, family values, and the dignity of human life. FRC Action is here to help prepare you to vote with our 2018 Voter Guide. Go to frcaction.org/voterguide to view the guide, election dates, and so much more. It's important to be informed when you enter the voting booth. This is your time to be a part of the solution for America. So, don't be silent. Be sure to vote. Again, that's frcaction.org/voterguide.
Have you ever had doubts about your freedom to believe? All of us want to be free, especially when it comes to practicing our faith, which is so fundamental to who we are. In America, we tend to take religious freedom for granted, but millions of people around the world aren't so blessed. When basic freedoms are denied to us, the natural human reaction is one of anger. It is no surprise, then, that in countries where religious freedom is suppressed, violence soon follows. Today, we often see this violence spill into other countries in the form of terrorism. This is why religious freedom and national security go hand in hand. As religious freedom is cultivated worldwide, and as security and economic development occur along with it, the United States' national security interests are advanced. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/national security. That's frc.org/national security.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices, who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, here's the phone number. 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. We're going to go to the phone lines here in just a moment. Today we're talking about trying to get Congress to finally sever this forced partnership between taxpayers and Planned Parenthood with this over-the-top advertising in New York, talking about the ministerial, the focus on religious liberty that the Secretary of State is hosting next week in Washington. And then we're talking about this outrageous story of religious discrimination in Pennsylvania. Randall Winger with the Independence Law Center, representing a couple. You know, Randall, I was just talking during the break with Randy Bird here, our producer, about our home is on 20 acres out kind of in the woods, not a farm per se. We've got animals and lots of kids. But we've had 800 people on our property. For certain events, we always have stuff. We'll have big gatherings. I mean, that's why we have it. And I can't imagine the government telling me I can't do that on my property when I'm not hurting anyone else.
Well, it is phenomenally outrageous when you think these are all the kinds of activities that you could have in a park. People gather in parks. They sing in parks. They talk about things in parks. All of the things that they're being cited for are the things that you could have in a public park. Why couldn't you have it on your own property if your own property is like yours or the Fedorov's, big enough to be a very, very large park? And they even allow parks in this particular zoning district where they're being cited, but somehow they seem to think that you have to be a place of worship or assembly in order to have these just very basic activities.
Randall, what concerns me about that, though, is that that's exactly what we see happening in these foreign countries like Turkey, Pakistan, India, where registration is required to have. I mean, if you have two people praying in a home, that's considered having a church. In order to have a church, you have to be registered and recognized. And that's how they control Christianity. That's how they control religious minorities that they don't want. And so when we start seeing that same type of activity here in the United States, we have to jump on this with all four and just, I mean, it's got to stop. So tell me, what do you think the prospects are here that the Fedorovs are able to operate as they have for decades, unhindered by these local government bullies?
Well, we just filed a federal lawsuit in the Western District of Pennsylvania against the Wickley Heights borough. And we don't run to court quickly. We try to look to see if there are other ways to resolve things, because on the face of this, it's so incredibly preposterous that you would think reasonable people would be able to work it out, to have a conversation to say, oh, look, this has got to be some kind of mistake. Can they just have this event on their property? Can you just acknowledge that would be okay? And we did that. We went through that process, and the borough still basically thumbed its nose at us and said, proceed at your own risk.
And now, are these elected commissioners that are doing this, or is this I don't know how the government there is structured in the borough. But...
Right. They've got elected commissioners, but a lot of delegated authority to zoning officers and to their own solicitors, and those folks making very bad decisions as it goes along. And so you were stating before break, you know, what are the kinds of things that people can do? Well, when this is happening in a democratic system, the obvious thing that we should be thinking of is, well, this shouldn't be happening in my community, in my watch. And unfortunately, things as bizarre as this happen all over the place, and I know they do because we get phone calls, and other groups like ours get phone calls. And your listeners need to be aware of what's happening. That's probably why they're listening to this program right now. They're aware. They need to vote, but they need to be involved as well. Good people need to step up to the plate. It's a lot of work to run and be involved in, particularly in local government, but boy, the kind of practical difference it makes in people's lives, whether you can live in a community where you don't have to think twice before hosting an event on your property, or you begin to wonder if somebody's watching you when you're having a simple Bible study with 10 or 20 people.
This is something that cannot be tolerated. It's clearly against the Constitution, against our freedoms, but we cannot turn a blind eye to this because it will quickly spread and become a contagion in our society. So,
well, that's right, and this is the kind of issue that I think the left and the right should both be able to agree on as well, where there should be some space that everybody recognizes based not only in freedom of religion but association and speech and assembly. That if you take away the rights for folks, religious folks like the Fedorovs, the same thing's going to happen to others as well, depending on who's in power. If it's just a, hey, I don't like my neighbor or what they're doing, let's stop them. That's not a free society. That's why we have a constitution, and it benefits everybody on the left and on the right.
And your home is your castle, you know, that is your dwelling
yes.
place, you know, and just
yes.
leave me alone, okay? Randall Winger, thanks so much for joining us, and thanks for taking on this case. Appreciate the great work you guys do at the Independence Law Center.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We'll be tracking this very, very closely because this is a big deal, folks. It really is. 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. When I see that kind of stuff, and it's kind of it's an anomaly. It's not something you see every day. But when you see it, you realize you have to address that. We cannot allow that type of stuff to happen. And we're seeing increasingly, in fact, we saw And it was about 3 weeks ago, Attorney General Jeff Sessions came out in a case defending a church that was, I forget exactly what they were doing, either building or relocating or something. But we've seen how zoning laws are used to restrict churches in building in certain places. They're trying to keep them out of, downtown areas or areas where there's economic activity because they want the tax revenue for that property. And so sometimes that's what it is. It's driven by money. Other times it's just driven by animus. But the fact is they try to keep them out. And again, that's what we see happening in some of these countries, actually countries that are what are called CPCs, countries of particular concern, that the State Department has flagged. This is how they control, even though they state in their constitution that they respect religious freedom, like Turkey. Turkey is one of those countries where in their 1982 constitution, they say that you have the freedom to of religion, freedom to believe, and freedom even to personally disseminate those views. And those beliefs. But in practice, that's not the case because they have these restrictions where if you have a church, you've got to be recognized, got to be authorized, and just it's all about controlling the church. And that, again, is happening in some of the with bad actors in places around the globe, and we cannot allow it to happen here. All right. There was a story. I saw this, and I made a note of this. I wanted to bring it up because thinking of the issue of the redefinition of marriage, if you go back to that debate when it began 2004, 2005, they were saying, well, you just want the ability for two people, two adults who love each other to be able to be married. And that's the basis for marriage. Of course, we were asking the question then, well, how do you, if you arbitrarily change the definition of marriage, which has been around for a few millennia, and you change it from man-woman to two people of any gender, sex, I mean, how do you lock that in? I mean, how do you keep it to that? Oh, that's crazy. That would never happen. It's two people. Okay, my point is it was always man and a woman. If you can change that, you can change the number. And, of course, we saw after the court redefined marriage that then there was this big push to legalize polygamy. In fact, this Hollywood's joined in that campaign to promote polygamy and there's lawsuits going on about it. So look, it's happening. But this is what's shocking, okay? There was a TED Talk earlier this summer. It was a medical student, Mergim Haini, and she insisted to a crowd that, quote, our perception of pedophilia has to change. Anyone could be born a pedophile, she told them. It's just another unchangeable sexual orientation, just like, for example, heterosexuality. Now, end quote. Now, using the same born-that-way playbook as the LGBT activists, she's trying to legitimize sexual abuse as the latest acceptable expression of sexuality. Quote, just like pedophiles, we are not responsible for our feelings, she said. We did not choose them. But listen, she goes on. But it is our responsibility to overcome our negative feelings about pedophiles and to treat them with the same respect we treat other people with, end quote. Now, I would agree we should treat everyone with respect. But overcoming our negative feelings about child sex? Are you serious? What we need to overcome is our sin nature. And that will never happen when we normalize sin. And that's what this is about. It's about normalizing abnormal behavior. Now, there'll be those that are quick to say, oh, no, that's not, that's just one voice out there. Look, I'm telling you what, it's an astonishingly honest look at where this debate and where the world, if we're not careful, is headed. You know, the movement that promised to quit once it won marriage through the courts doesn't bother pretending anymore. The only limits that exist are how they can define reality. So I think you need to watch this, folks. This is the reason the church, and we were talking about this yesterday, where the HRC, Human Rights Campaign, has this targeted campaign to try and convince the church that it's just another expression, and you can be engaged in the homosexual, lesbian, bisexual lifestyle and still follow Jesus. Well, that's trying to normalize behavior that is wrong. And there are no limits. I mean, we've seen this in history. We've seen it, you can see it in Scripture. Unrestrained by both God's truth and His grace, there is no limit to where man can go, how far he can fall. And in fact, Romans 1, that obscure book that the previous president talked about, makes it very clear. As we reject God and His truth, there is no end to where we can end up. So I just bring that to your attention, that we need to hold on to, stand up for, defend, and speak in love the truth of God. Because when we normalize sin, what happens is people remain enslaved to sin. And when you can try to redefine it and try to make it go away, but you can't. It's there. It's reality. All right. Let me see if I can get to a call here before we run out of time. Let's go to Missouri, where Eric is on the line. Eric, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. How you doing today?
I'm good. And you?
Not too bad. Yeah, you know, I was just listening to you, and that lady you was talking about making the comments about the pedophiles, us reevaluating our views on that. And, you know, when the whole thing about marriage came about, that was one of the first things I said that was next. And I'm sure I can't be the only person who said that, too.
Well, once you remove the standards, I mean, when you can redefine marriage, there's no limit to what you can do.
Sure. You know, and you know, a lot of people would sit here and say, well, yeah, you know, it's going to go to three people wanting to be married and just, you know, getting on out there to all kinds of crazy stuff. And people say, oh, you're just blowing wind. You know, 10 years ago, if you said that two people of the same sex would get married, you know, people would be saying, oh, you're just blowing wind. You know,
yeah. Hey, Eric, we're up. Eric, I'm sorry. I hate to cut you off, but we're out of time for today. Folks, the truth is the truth. And you and I have an obligation to live according to that truth and uphold that truth. And when we've taken our stand to defend that truth and represent that truth, no matter what we do, we're to keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.